Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Dom Giordano on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
The Secretary of Health and Human Services, Alex Azar, joins us in Philadelphia. Mr. Secretary, thank you so much, particularly in a day like this, for taking time to join us.
Hey, Don, it's great to be with you as well as your listeners. Thank you for having me.
Well, it seems to be, we've heard various things from some national figures today, that the test kits, the delay on this, Mark Siegel, who I think is very reliable and even-handed, over at Fox, Mr. Secretary, says he'd like to see 20,000 Americans tested every day, the South Korea model. What can you tell us on that front? I'm talking about timelines and when this is going to happen.
You bet. So, like you, I have great respect for Dr. Mark Siegel also. Let me give you a little bit of factual background. I'm actually going to reach out to Dr. Siegel because I want to make sure he's got it also, which is we now have 4.5 million tests available in the United States. What's happening, though, is that they're at public health labs and they're at hospitals and they're at other labs, and those labs aren't setting themselves up to make themselves available to people. You still have to go through a doctor, and that doctor has to connect up. So it's been difficult. But there's nothing stopping local and state authorities or these labs from setting up drive-through clinics where you could basically come up, get screened to see if a test is appropriate, get swabbed, and get tested. So they can do that. They can do that. Now, we're going to work at the national level to try to facilitate that, but that's because that hasn't happened at the local level or at the labs. In addition, we've approved just overnight, we approved Roche with a very fast, high-throughput test that can test thousands of people. LabCorp and Quest, the really big private lab testing companies, they're approved. They're out in the marketplace building capacity. And so over the next several days, you're going to see a rapid improvement in the convenience and accessibility of testing to Americans, even though we've had this large capacity sitting there. So the president is adamant about trying to make this a better experience for people and get more people tested, exactly what Dr. Siegel ordered.
So it is that the state officials are making a different decision about how to do this. Is there anything that you can order? It's a national emergency, right?
Well, it's just that a lot of the locals and the labs aren't stepping up to the plate. They've got the test, but they're sitting and waiting for people to for doctors to send people to them or send samples to them. Well, instead, go out to the street and set up a drive-through drive-through sampling. You know, just do it. Do it.
Now,
We're not stopping them.
Mr. Secretary, the president tweeted out, too, that there were some Obama regulations that were holding us back here. Is that factual? And give us a scope of what they may have been.
It is. The Food and Drug Administration had long wanted to regulate tests that hospitals and other labs would develop on their own for their own use. And they call them homebrew or lab developed tests, you know, where they're basically creating a recipe themselves and running a test themselves. And the Bush administration, I was here, we actually resisted the FDA's efforts to create a regulatory regime over them. During the Obama administration, they made it clear that they wanted to have that jurisdiction. And so as a result, even the CDC felt the need to go to the FDA to get approval of their test before they would put it out. And what we've done is we've said to these highly qualified labs, make your own test. you don't have to get approval from us beforehand. Send us your materials afterwards that validate that you've got a good test, and we'll give you your license afterwards. But, you know, get off to the races and start testing folks with any test that you can develop for this. So we're trying to make these tests as accessible and available as possible in the private sector, in the public sector, wherever.
What is the best advice from the medical people? Now, you're inside there with Mike Pence and the others. You're one of the go-to guys. Who should be tested at this point? Where do we find that, or what do you say right here on the show? Who should get tests today?
So from a national government level, we say we rely on healthcare professionals to work with their patients to see who most needs testing. We're not in the way. The federal government isn't telling people not to get tested. It's up to the labs, and we don't regulate the practice of medicine or who can get lab tests. So that's for them to decide. But it's probably going to be folks who have any kind of symptoms, who've had close contact with somebody who might be symptomatic, who live with a medically fragile person and are worried about contact with somebody. But that's really for the local people to determine. The federal government, that's not our job. We're out of that.
A lot of scare stories out there, some of this driven by the media. And I wanted to hear from somebody right inside this onslaught and how damaging it is. The media is quoting sources of various people. 40 to 70% of Americans will be infected. When I hear that headline, I think that's a pretty big gap. I mean, what are you hearing? What are the guesstimates around this? Or is this an example of this media speculation that's fueling panic here in the Delaware Valley?
Well, you know, the 24-hour news cycle beast has to get fed, and so they're just always just, I think they like the notion of hysteria or panic. But that being said, we've got to be very measured and careful and transparent with information. And what the president said, what I've said from the start, is we're going to see more cases. The United States is the center of the global economy. We are the economic powerhouse of the world. We can't hermetically seal this country off. We're going to have cases. We're going to have more cases. And we're going to still have more cases. I can assure you of that right now. But what we're doing is trying to contain our borders, trying to stop the spread internally by keeping distance between people, and in local areas that are having outbreaks, have social distancing, stop large gatherings, close schools or restrict how schools are operating, telework from home, make sure your hospitals have adequate capacity to take care of folks. You contact trace. You see anybody who's infected, you see who they've had contact with, and you work to get them in isolation or under observation. So these are the tools we have, and we're going to work to minimize both the number of people that get the disease, but also try to protect those who are most vulnerable, our elderly who have serious medical conditions, or really any of us who have cancer or diabetes, liver disease, kidney disease, heart disease, immunosuppressed conditions. Those are the people most at risk globally of severe critical complications or, God forbid, even fatality from this disease. For most of us, and really that's over 80% of us, most of us, if we get it, it's going to be a mild or moderate disease. I mean, so that will very much seem like a cold or a case of the flu. And so that's for most of us. That's not to in any way diminish the serious impact of this on certain classes of people based on their age and their medical conditions. But that's why I say it's not a time for, I know people are uneasy. I know they're concerned, but it's time to step back and listen to these medical scientific professionals, and you control your own fate here in so many respects. You know, keep some distance from folks, especially if they're sick or showing any kind of symptoms. Wash your hands or use hand sanitizer, and preferably don't touch. Don't do handshakes. I'm not doing handshakes anymore. Cough into your elbow and seek medical care. Call the doctor's office if you're not feeling well, and see how they want you to handle it. Because you don't want to race into doctor's office or hospital if you feel you got some symptoms.
Exactly. Mr. Secretary, I want to interrupt. A really good caller today suggested that if we would see, and maybe that information's out there, I know you're working on it, the tracing of where this is coming from, people, the results of how many people have recovered. Is there a good source of information, or is that too hard to do now? Because I think what you're saying is accurate, but people would like to see the tracking of this because it pushes back against this panic that's out there.
Yeah, so that's a really good question, and I can assure you the president wants to see that also, because we are seeing so many, you know, most everybody recovers from this fully. The Chinese have, I think, 70,000 people in China, they said, have already recovered from this. Here in the U.S., we're really at the beginnings of this, though, so if you get it, you're looking at a couple weeks of recovery, or maybe 5 to 6 weeks if you're one of those classes of people that get a more severe critical presentation. So we're actually still too early to give you good data on recovery rates here in the United States because we haven't really had that many people and they haven't progressed through it. But if we look at China, it's really that just tens and tens of thousands of people, they recover, they go on with their lives, they've had a mild to moderate disease. So that's why I say I understand the anxiety. I understand the concern of people, but step back. Let science and evidence guide, not emotion or whipped-up media panic, but rather listen to the folks like Dr. Fauci, Dr. Redfield, Dr. Birx, these folks that they spent right. their life doing this. They can give you good advice, and you can trust what they've got to say.
Parting question for you then. You talked about the testing kits then. So what is imminent? Let's say by the coming week, after the weekend, we should have, you believe, more testing going on, tremendous amount more going on. Is there anything else imminent? Is the president considering stopping at least air travel to California, Washington State, that appear to be the epicenters of this? Is that being talked about?
I doubt that you would see things like that, although nothing is ever going to be off the table in protecting the American people. But I think in terms of testing over the next several days and week, you're going to see a radically different and better experience in terms of individuals and their ability to access the tests that we actually have a surplus of already, a better, easier experience so that we can get those tens of thousands of people that Dr. Siegel talked about, get them tested, give them comfort, get the data. That's a number one priority for me right now.
Mr. Secretary, thank you for being generous with your time today. Have a great weekend, and please come back again anytime in Philadelphia.
Thank you. Great to be with you.
Tom Giordano, weekdays 9 till noon on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.